Ganz herzlich darf ich alle grüßen.
I greet all of you very warmly in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcoming you all from near and far. We also greet all those who are joining us online and who are having part in the blessing of God. There are our brothers from Portugal connected. They are greeting you. Then we have greetings from brothers and sisters from Brazil, from Mozambique, from Angola, and from the Azores Islands. It's just a wonderful grace to live in this time, that we can really have part in everything. And also our brothers and sisters are having part worldwide. Just feel at home at this place. One request, please, parents, watch over your children that they don't run around, that they are with their parents. Now we want to praise our Lord. As the choir has sung these wonderful songs already, we start with song number 21. The well-known song, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, number 21. We sing also number 10. Number 10. Take the name of Jesus with you. Number 10.
Thank you.
Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, thank you. There's nothing more nice than to praise and glorify our Lord for that what He has done for us. We cannot understand it. His divine love is greater than everything what we can comprehend. His grace, His mercy, His faithfulness, everything the Lord has done for us. Because He loved us, we cannot thank Him enough. Let us do it. As long as there's the breath of life in it, let us glorify His name, thanking Him for everything what He has done for us. For the word of introduction, I would like to read us a word from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 21. And then Brother Alfred Borg will pray with us. 21. I didn't write you because the truth is not known to you. Just the opposite, because you know it. And because you know that no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist, who denieth the Father and the Son. But everyone who denies the Son has not the Father. He who confesses the Son has also the Father. What you have heard from the beginning, this must abide continually in you. For what you have heard from the beginning, if it abides in you, then you will abide in Him, the Son, and in the Father. I don't know where he's reading. And this is the promise which He has given us, eternal life. This I've written to you because of those who deceive you. And concerning you, the anointing abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Up to here, this holy word of God. Let us stand up and pray. We have heard a very mighty word, brothers and sisters. What you have heard from the beginning. Are we not grateful for what we have heard? What the Lord revealed to us from the word of life, also tonight, we are grateful to be here under the sound of His word. May the Lord bless each one of us who is present here and who are joining us online worldwide. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this mighty word. We thank you that you are present tonight to bless us, your people. Lord, we ask you, give our brother strength to proclaim your word. Stretch forth thine hand for healings. Let signs and wonders take place in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of your name, so that we are all helped tonight through your word, through your presence, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, work mightily in our midst tonight. Open the windows of heaven and let your blessing come upon all of us. Please grant all these requests. We are looking up to you. We don't look at each other, but we look at Jesus Christ, who is alive, who is present also tonight in our midst. We ask you, please come to your right with all who hear your word tonight. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing Only Believe, Only Believe. I love him, I love him. Thou art worthy. This we say, amen. You may be seated. Be welcome, all of you, in the precious name of our beloved Lord. And we wish all who are joining us online today, we wish that they are not only connected acoustically, but that they are connected by the Spirit of God, just as we heard it right now. As His anointing teaches us, so it is right before God, And as the anointing of the Holy Spirit abided on the anointed one, and as it came upon the church, and as it was taught at the beginning, so it is being taught now at the end. But please, only in the church of the living God, with those who are led by the Spirit of God. All the others, they will remain on their own ways. Only those who truly found grace in the sight of God in this time, they will believe and recognize the promises for this time, and they will get the word revealed. It was really a mighty word of introduction. God revealed himself to us as Father in his only begotten Son. The Son was not born somewhere in eternity, as it is confessed in the Nicene Creed and as it is written in all the catechisms. The Son is the manifestation of God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God has really given us grace to believe what was preached at the beginning. And we say it time and again. We are very close to the return of the Lord. And believe me, the last and the first sermon must agree. Beginning and end must be the same. Everything must be restored. Must be restored before God. Firstly, we have all the heartfelt greetings. Firstly, Brother Schmidt gave me some greetings from our precious sister Demchenko. Our sister Demchenko, we remember her. Warm greetings. Then from Yesk, from Russia, from Donetsk, Ukraine. And here, from Brother John from Bucharest. Also special greetings from Brother Mamba from Kolvetsi, Brother Mbie from Bujimai, from Brother Ondrashek from Slovakia, from Brother Adi from Romania, Brother Trispel from Germany, Brother Jürgen from Chile, Brother Ellis from Edmonton, and the church from Bukavu is sending greetings. Brother Paré from Burkina Faso is sending greetings. Brother Jacques from Abidjan is sending greetings. Brother Müller from Germany is sending greetings. And very special greetings today from Brother Ziller from Cordoba, Argentina. He phoned me, and they are listening also now. Just very wonderful. Then, from Brother Petro, from the church in Rome, and from Brother Ngonga, from the DRC, Brother Cecil from Pretoria, and just briefly, from Kishinev, sometimes the names are not written properly. Then greetings from Kishinev. Then greetings from Brother Leonard and from Brother Bruce from Cape Town. Greetings from Brother Keses from Hungary. greetings from Dala, Cameroon, greetings from Brother Lositius, and then greetings from Zambia, then greetings from Brother Motika from Johannesburg, greetings from Burundi, greetings from Boksburg, South Africa, greetings from Rwanda, greetings from Brother Xavier from Kigali, greetings from Brother Deo from Rwanda, once again greetings from Cape Town, greetings from Brother Joseph from Atlanta, greetings from Brother Tabo, and then greetings from Brother Adiari. One moment, difficult to read here. Then one brother from Ilunga from the USA, then brethren from Chennai, India, then greetings from Kishinev, once again, greetings from Abidjan, greetings from Croatia, greetings from the DRC, from Brother Paruti, then greetings from Denver, Colorado, greetings from Brother Deo from Rwanda, from Abidjan, from Brother Leon, then Brother Erlando from Palermo, then greetings from Congolo, from Brother Congolo. Then Brother Maurice from Cape Town, and then from brethren from Zambia, and then our brothers and sisters from Finland are sending greetings. Then Brother Matati from Congo, and once again from Goma, from the DRC, then Brother Ferry from Hungary, Brother Babundu, and Brother Pedro, then Brother Adonis, Brother Lupondo, Brother Jeremy, and Brother Simon, and Brother Jonas. And now special greetings from the Azores Islands. You all heard it, what God has done there. The first lady there, God opened her heart. And the only correspondent who is there, God opened also his heart. And we were invited there to come now to Madeira in January to bring the message of God there. Also Brother Grazian from Ashdod, from Israel, is also sending greetings. Brothers and sisters, I'm just overwhelmed of what God has done in this year. And we briefly have written it in the circular letter. We illuminated the past 50 years. And I just have to say, God, in His faithfulness, He has taken care for everything. And when Brother Etienne Genton, together with Brother Miskis, came into my office, they said, Brother Frank, 60 years ago, we both heard Brother Branham. He in Lausanne, in Switzerland, and I in the city of Karlsruhe, Germany. Yes, he was 12 years and I was 22 years old. But we can still remember it very well, what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard, really, of the word of life. And this we not just say, but we confess it, we testify of it before the Almighty God, that the Lord brings his plan of salvation to its end in our time, and that the last ones are being called out now, and that they experience their preparation by his grace. And if we then still remember that God, in this year, he has opened new doors, be it in Abu Dhabi, be it in Pakistan, be it in the Persian Gulf. God just opened doors and has led in a wonderful way. Who would have invited me to Dubai or to there or there? God really has given grace that all the doors are being opened until the ends of the earth, so that the scripture is being fulfilled in our time. And to this, I would like to read two scriptures which speak of the end of time. We all know the scriptures from 1 Peter. Here it is shown to us, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and please remember, think about it. Already then, the Lord took care of that what we have to know now, that it was written down already then. Here it is written, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Very mighty. This word is addressed to us. And I'm just reminded now that I didn't give you a report of my last missionary trip in November. God has really given grace also in Cuba. And our brother Erwin Pacheco is there translating there into the Spanish language. Just very mighty how God is opening the hearts and who gives liberty to preach the word of God. And in Havana, we experienced a miracle. Most probably you heard about it. I said it in Zurich. Waiting 5 hours for the takeoff. And then the plane, the aircraft, reached its speed to take off, and he had to step upon the emergency brake And I say, thanks be to God, we all survived by the grace of God. Just imagine this would have happened in the air after the takeoff. But God was merciful to us. It happened in a high speed, in a full speed. And instead of taking off, the pilot stepped upon the emergency brake. And we all were safe and had to go back to the terminal and had to wait again 5 hours until it went on. We are just so grateful with all our hearts that God has led it in such a way. And I had to think on October 1976, when the Lord commanded me to cancel my trip to India, where 96 passengers, after the takeoff, they went off in flames. It was written in all the newspapers, and my name was on the passenger list. And from the capital of Germany, Bonn, they phoned to Krefeld, and they said, your missionary, Ewald Frank, is amongst those who died in the flames. And I was sitting in the office, and I was called to the phone. Yes, the Lord is faithful. To Him be the glory. May God bless also our brother Erwin Pacheco in a special way. Most surely he will return to Cuba. Then we had mighty meetings in Peru, also on the TV and radio, and the people came to hear the word of God. And the crowning of the journey was in Brazil. Also there, God has blessed beyond measure and beyond understanding. Yes, if one then sees the crowds there, the multitude, who found grace in the sight of God and who received the testimony. And we are very grateful to the Lord. Brother Claudio Miskis, he also translated mightily from the English language into the Portuguese language. And we are just so grateful for all our brothers, for all the languages. And when I then heard that it is being translated into Romanian, which I held there in Brazil, it was translated directly into the Romanian language. And if I then think about that 631 were connected to listen, brothers and sisters, this is very mighty. What God is doing right now. And to this belongs Matthew 24, verse 14. We read here in 1 Peter chapter 4, the end of all things is at hand. But in Matthew 24, verse 14, it is being said very clearly by our Lord when the end would be and when it will truly come. Here in Matthew 24, one could read from verse 11. Matthew 24, from verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You see? Do you notice how important the word of introduction was? As the anointing rested at the beginning upon the apostles, who preached the word unto us, so the anointing rests upon us today. May the false prophets and may the false Christs, may they rise. It just belongs to the course of the end time. But God has a flock which is called out and which is under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And here it's written, in particular in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, not just two or three nations, unto all nations for a witness. And then, when the gospel is being preached to all the nations, the divine message of salvation, when this message is being preached, then the end shall come. Also this we had to say here at this place time and again. Never was the possibility given as it is now. Just think of it. In New Zealand, every day starts there. There starts every day. When the sun comes up as the first. Today they're listening in Auckland, New Zealand. May God bless them there. You can go on up to Honolulu, to Alaska, to Edmonton, everywhere, all over the earth, the people can listen. And the scripture is being fulfilled really before our very eyes. When the gospel, the full gospel, the full salvation is being preached, namely to all nations, to all peoples and tongues, then the end shall come. And we are very close to the end. This we see on everything what is going on right now worldwide. In no other year, so much has happened as in this year. The raging of the nations, everything comes to fulfillment, as it is written in Isaiah 17 and also in Luke 21, verse 25. The nations are in an uprise. We hear everything, we see everything, and we know that our Lord repeatedly said, when you see all this that is happening, then lift up your heads, for your bodily redemption is drawing nearer. And do we know, brothers and sisters, precious friends, the main concern is the preparation of the bride of the Lamb. And let me say it here today with all clarity in the name of the Lord. All of us, we need the personal experiences of salvation as they are reported to us in the Holy Scripture. The Spirit of God must come upon us and convict us of sin. Convict us of righteousness and of judgment, as written in John chapter 16. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will open the eyes to the world. He will convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And the same Spirit will lead us unto repentance, will really break us down in pieces on our inside, And we say, Lord, we have gone, we went in our own ways. And we have trespassed your word. We are guilty. Please forgive us. Be merciful to us. Brothers and sisters, especially all you young people, you newcomers, we need our personal experiences of salvation, a personal conversion. His Spirit must bear witness unto our spirit that we have become the children of God. And also this now, with a new birth, by the Word and Spirit, not only receiving forgiveness by the blood of the Lamb, but receiving the new divine life must come into our hearts and into our lives. And this we received by faith. We know what happened by the blood of the Lamb. We know what happened by the blood of the new covenant, forgiveness, remission of sins. This was the grace was given to us. Yes, the same way we know that our Lord has said, ye must be born again. Otherwise, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then we, of course, recognized that the divine seed of the word was sown into our hearts. Even a natural birth, which takes place, that doesn't take place when the wind blows. No, when there is a union in love, so it is also in the Spirit. For God so much loved the world. Golgotha is the evidence of the divine love for us. He paid the price for us, and he redeemed us, and he has left unto us his word, so that we receive it as the divine seed, and so that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and so that the new divine life comes up in us. These are just mighty scriptures, which one could read one after the other. And we know the Lord has pardoned us. He opened our hearts. And as written in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, Matthew 13, how the Lord has given grace, giving grace that we receive and accept what he has given to us by his grace. Here, Matthew 13, we have the promise. We received the promise from the Lord. Here, verse 11. Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered. Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. To whom is it given? To whom? To them who believed, who received it, not to them who objected, but to them who have heard the word of the Lord and who believed it. And here, especially in verse 13, it's of course written, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And therefore the Lord was asking, did you understand all this? They hear, and they see, but they don't hear, and they don't see. Then verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Just imagine, they hear and see, and nevertheless, they don't perceive. And then it comes from verse 15 and 16. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Only if we convert to Him and believe Him, then we can be healed. Inside and outside. That's how it is written here. And I should heal them. Let us read the last part once again. And should be converted so that I could heal them. And then to the converted ones, it says in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Just very mighty. Brothers and sisters, this is not a privilege what you and I have imagined. No, God has led it in such a way. His word is trustworthy, but he who doesn't believe it, to him it cannot be revealed. And in the same way as it was at the first coming of Christ, and let me read the parallel scriptures here so that we understand it. From Luke chapter 1. As then, at the first coming of Christ, as it was then, that it was really necessary to hear him who was crying in the wilderness. For he had a divine commission. He had a divine sending. He was someone whom God promised in advance to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. How is it in our time, brothers and sisters? It's of course not only about to read a scripture and to then speak about it. No, it's about to read the corresponding scriptures which were given from God for our time. And as written in Luke chapter 1, especially in verse 16 and 17, Luke 1, 16, of the ministry of John the Baptist, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. The scribes had their interpretations, and they bypassed that. But now the moment has come, and many of the children, to turn many of the children to the Lord, to the Word, to the promises, as it is written here. And in verse 17, and he, now referred to John the Baptist, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This was the purpose of the divine sending. That's how it was promised in Isaiah 40 and in Malachi chapter 3. And here we were told that this fulfillment, this sending, had the goal, the aim, that many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and to the Lord a people is prepared. And the same writer Luke, could then write in Luke chapter 3, here we are reported, it's reported to us what happened at that time. Here it's written, Luke chapter 3, from verse
3.
And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He was pointing to it, as written in John 1, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." But here the emphasis is to preach the baptism of repentance and for the remission of sins. And here in verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Make his paths straight." Then let me read also verse 16 to it. Luke 3, verse 16. The man of God said, driven by the Spirit of God, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, that the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." This man of God already preached the repentance, the forgiveness, the Spirit baptism. And when the time was fulfilled, everything took place. What did Peter say? What did he say in the first sermon? Repent, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Brothers and sisters, we must say it in every meeting, we must emphasize it. It was revealed to us that not the beginning, but the end will be crowned. At the beginning, there were 10 virgins, and the Lord spoke only in parables, especially in the 40 parables concerning the kingdom of God, showing the kingdom. The Lord spoke in parables, also in the parable about the virgins. At the beginning, it were 10 of them, and at the end, only 5. Only half of them who heard the call at the beginning. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Something happened along the way. And let us say it time and again, not the beginning, but the end will be crowned. Although some don't like it, but nevertheless, it must be said time and again. Also what Brother Branham said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And today, I really brought with me the map, the folder, with all the quotations. 18 times, Brother Branham said the same thing. He even said, not I, but the message will forerun the second coming of Christ. I can nothing for it that God has led it in such a way that he has taken away the messenger. But the message was left unto us. And this message, we carried it into all the world. The same word which was preached at the beginning, be it about the Godhead, about the water baptism, about the Lord's Supper, all the main biblical teachings. Yes, one could start with the Garden of Eden. And Brother Branham, time and again, he emphasized, it was only one word, which was added to that what God said to Adam. Then doubts were sown. Then unbelief came. Then the beguiling came. Then the fall came. One single word added. The attention of the enemy was given. And then it happened. It was over. And why did Paul write in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I fear that as Satan beguiled Eve there, that your minds are also deceived and beguiled. It's a time of deception, brothers and sisters, not outside, but inside of the ranks of them who refer to Brother Branham. And we must remain sober and clear, and we must know that we have to take everything back to the Scripture. And we know that what he preached, this was at the beginning, and this will be also at the end. And let us say it very freely. Has anyone of the world-known evangelists, has anyone spoken about the Godhead, about the water baptism? Did they speak about the fall? Did they show us why the redemption was necessary? And because the fall happened in this body of flesh, therefore the Lord had to come into a body of flesh to take the sin upon himself, namely to make well again what happened through the fall, and to bring us back into the fellowship with God. What did God want? Let us read a couple of scriptures from the Old and then also from the New Testament. God wanted to dwell among his people, and he wanted to be our God. And also that, what happened in the Old Testament, for instance, in Exodus, here it's chapter 25, Exodus 25. Here, the Lord gave the admonition, Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9. Here it's of course written, verse 8 and 9, Exodus 25, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. God wanted to have fellowship with his people. That was lost by the fall, God was seeking fellowship, and that they should build a house so that he could dwell there. Verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. God wanted to have fellowship with men, and this fellowship he erected by his grace, he established. Exodus 29, here it's written from verse 43 up to 46, 43, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And now comes the verse which I want to underline here. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. Not just visiting. No, I want to dwell among them. I want to walk among them. I want to sanctify them by my presence so that they are a sanctified people to me. This was already in the plan of God in the Old Testament. Let us go quickly to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. You all know that David wanted to build a house for the Lord. But then Solomon has built the house. Here, in 1 Kings, chapter 8, in verse 13, it's written, 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 13, I have surely built thee a house to dwell in. A house to dwell in. A settled place for thee to abide in forever. God wanted to dwell among his people, to walk with them. He wanted to be their God. And after the Exodus, he proved it. 40 years he was looking after them. They had no lack. Here we read 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 31. Perhaps verse 21. 1 Kings 8, verse 21. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. So not only a house in which thou shalt dwell, but an ark of the covenant in which the word of the Lord was, which he gave them along the way, that it belongs together. There where God dwells, there is his word, there is the ark. And our Lord went with his own blood into the Holy of Holies. This thought, brothers and sisters, which really touches me, is just this, that God wants to have a dwelling place, a church. First, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me read it to you. Colossians. It's of course written. But it's also written that we, all the fullness which dwelt in Christ, that we have it, that it's ours. Colossians, chapter 2. Here we read verse 9 and 10. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And then he lines out, then he sets forth, then verse 13, we read, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Amen. It's just so mighty. Receive it by faith. Accept it. All who have not yet made their personal experience of salvation, don't let this time pass over you. But come to the Lord. Come by faith. And ye will experience it. Then verse 14 and 15, it's written. Colossians 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. All the law which God has given, everything was against us. All the trespasses. Here it's written. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, blotting it out, took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. And there it is forever. We may proclaim the liberty of the children of God. Our guilt, our sin was laid upon him so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. And now listen now to the triumph of our Redeemer. In verse 15, in Colossians 2, and having spoiled, disarmed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The sting of death was pulled out. The head of the serpent was bruised. Our Lord has given us a perfect redemption by his grace. The handwriting of requirements was torn into pieces, blotted out. No man needs to accuse anyone anymore. Everyone confesses. Brother Frank is reciting a German poem. Let us look into the mirror of the Word and let us believe what the Holy Scripture says. Please, let us receive it. In him, our Redeemer, dwelt all the Godhead, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And now all the fullness dwells in his church, through which the work of God is continued up to the completion. Therefore it's written, and ye are complete. It's, in German it says, it belongs to you, it's yours. All the fullness of God, all the salvation, healing, this is the full gospel. This is the full salvation which God has given us by his grace. It's ours. Then we can read on. I said it before, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, so that all of the fullness of the Godhead might dwell and be manifested in the Redeemer, so that it also might be manifested in the Church of the Redeemed. Brothers and sisters, also tonight, the Lord wants to manifest his victory. He wants to save. He wants to deliver. He wants to heal. Today he wants to bless. We are not only preaching it, but God stands behind his word and fulfills what he promised. Just very mighty. But now comes one more scripture as the main thing now, namely 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to show us, 2 Corinthians 6, that after the last message of the calling out would go forth, that God the Lord would again dwell and walk amongst us. It's just very mighty. Very mighty. Here, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. It's of course written. One could read from verse 14. I read also verse 15. 2 Corinthians 6 from verse 14. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And do you know what comes now? Now comes verse 17. Which belongs to verse 16. Wherefore, because God wants to dwell and walk among his people again, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, commandeth the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is a mighty scripture. God, from the beginning on, he wanted to dwell and walk among his people. He wanted to dwell amongst us. And firstly, whatever belonged to the plan of salvation had to happen first in the Redeemer. And therefore, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily here on this earth. It dwelt in the Redeemer, so that the same power and fullness might dwell in the redeemed. Namely now, now, before the return of Jesus Christ, the last message of calling out of separation had to take place so that God's people are separated and so that God can sanctify us by His presence. Sanctify them in Thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Here we have a mighty connection between the will of God that He wants to dwell again in our midst. He wants to work in our midst. He wants to walk amongst us. Let us read these two verses once again in connection. 2 Corinthians 6. In summary, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? No agreement at all. The temple of God is the temple of God. It's ordained for God, not for idols. No, for God. And therefore, both is impossible. Both can be not joined. It's separated. For we are the temple of the living God. Here it's no more about a building by hands of men. No, about the true children of God, about the redeemed who received forgiveness and grace before God, who belong to the new covenant, who received the blood of the new covenant. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Just be honest now. Be honest. Don't we have the inner desire? Don't we have the inner longing that God comes to His right in our midst? That we not only experience the calling out and hearing the message, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him. No, rather that we not only have our lamps trimmed and that they extinguish one day. No, that we are connected to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Out of His fullness, we have received grace after grace. Brothers and sisters, the connection to the working and moving of God in this time is the most important. Calling out, preparation, separation, and then being the temple of God, the church of God, the manifestation place of God here on this earth. The Lord has a body. Of Him it was said, a body thou hast prepared for me. And whoever reads 1 Corinthians 12, we are the body of Christ. He is the head. We are joined together. As Peter writes it, as the temple, as the living stones fitted together into this divine building. May the Lord really put the real desire into our hearts that we, as the called out ones, as the called out church, as the separated church, who has heard the last message, that we truly become the manifestation place of the living God, that it might be fulfilled, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Not just visiting, no. Dwelling among them, walking in them. In the Old Testament, building a house so that God can dwell there. By Solomon. And our Lord builds His own house And as written in Hebrews, and his house are we, brothers and sisters. God has given us the last message for the highest purpose which exists in the plan of salvation. And with a sincere and honest heart, we can say, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have recognized the promise for this time. And as it was reported to John Baptist, that he should prepare a people for the Lord. And then it said, his bride has prepared herself. And it was it was given to her to be arrayed in white linen. Let us say it openly, also in our time, the Lord didn't dwell in the outer court. No, he spoke from the sanctuary, from the Ark of the Covenant. He spoke to his people. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Let us come now with all our requests, with all our problems, with all our troubles. Let us come to the Lord just as we are. And I promise you, we will not go from here as we have come, but by grace we will receive what God has promised for us, and we will experience it. The salvation of the soul, the forgiveness of sins, getting the assurance of salvation, that God has received us so that his Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we have become the children of God. And let me say it for your edification. If you believe the promise for this time with all your heart, that God, before the terrible day of the Lord, before the sun turns into darkness and before the moon turns into blood, if you believe with all your heart that God has given, that he has fulfilled this promise in our time, and that he has sent his prophet with the last message, so that the calling out and the preparation can take place. And let me say it clearly here. Perhaps it must be said in every meeting. Today, it is no more about the time span of 1933 to 1946. You all know this was a special time span in the life of Brother Branham. And then came the year, the 7th of May, 1946, when the angel of the Lord stepped down in the light into the room, and Brother Branham stood up. He had his Bible on his bosom, and the angel of the Lord gave him the divine commission. And from 1946 on, up to 65, this man of God just preached the word, has brought us back to the beginning. All the mysteries were revealed. But here's really the point now. We are not waiting that he comes again. We are waiting that the Lord comes again. And we wait that the Lord completes his work in the redeemed with a mighty power and glory. Brother Branham has fulfilled his unique ministry. The messenger God has taken, but the message was left to us. And I'm not judging, but all all who stopped at 1965, all who stopped at 1965 and who did not understand or who do not want to understand that only then the last time span could start. Yes, let us say it. Oh, let us say it. In the past 50 years, the word could find fulfillment, that the full gospel is being preached unto the ends of the earth. Let us say it with great pain. All who stop one day, they will regret it. I ask you, don't stop spiritually. Let us walk forward. Let us trust the Lord. He will bring it to pass. And the true elect cannot be deceived. They believe what we mentioned before, namely that God has sent his messenger and that he has left unto us the message which we have to carry into all the world. Let us not forget it. Just read again 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14 under prayer, and then you will find out that this is the period of time in which God has visited his people graciously, speaking to us, giving us the perfect salvation, giving us full forgiveness, and by his presence sanctifying us, and so that we can hear his word, receiving it, believing it, and getting it revealed. And by this we find confirmed that we are part of them whom God has chosen before the foundation of the world. And please remember the word which we read from Matthew 13. They have eyes and see not. They have ears and hear not. And then, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed to our God be the glory through the blood of the Lamb, for the word of God, for the Spirit of God, who leads us into all the truth. May today in you and me, may the desire come up in us, that we, as the called out ones, as the called out church, are becoming the manifestation place of the power of God, so that the Lord can work and walk in our midst, can dwell in our midst. I will dwell among them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So it's thus saith the Lord for the called out church in this time. And God keeps what he promises. And whoever believes it, he will see the glory of God. To him be all the glory and all the worship throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us stand up. Let us sing together, Just as I Am. Perhaps the two sisters are coming and sing us a song, Just as I Am. Jesus is never too late.
Das hat mich so ruhig und stille gemacht.
This made me so quiet.
Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie.
My Jesus is never too late.
Zwar sind unsere Wege oft krumm und verwirrt.
Although
wie soll es nun wenden, sag wie? Doch hat sich der Heiland noch niemals geirrt. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie. Doch hat sich der Heiland noch niemals geirrt. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie. Und ob unser Herz vor Ungeduld weint, umringen uns zittern die Knie, er bleibt unser großer und herrlicher Freund. Ja, Jesus verspätet sich nie.
Jesus is never too late.
Er bleibt unser großer und herrlicher Freund.
He remains.
Ja, Jesus verspätet sich nie.
Jesus is never too late.
So lautet die Lehre, die heute mir klar. Ich weiß nicht, das wann und das wie.
I don't know when,
doch hab ich ein seliges Wissen,
but I have the assurance.
Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie.
My Jesus is never too late.
Doch hab ich ein seliges Wissen, für wahr.
Blessed assurance.
Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie. Doch hab ich ein seliges Wissen für wahr. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie.
Amen.
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 As we have our heads bowed before the Almighty God, but in full confidence, in the perfect faith, we know that we found grace in the sight of God. According to the scripture, to whom I be merciful, to whom I have mercy, and on whom I have mercy, I have mercy. Today, we will bring all the prayer requests before the Lord, whether they are for us, for our families, for whomever they might be. Today, we will bring everything before the Lord, who said unto us, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will quicken you. I will give you rest for your souls. Beloved Lord, you are never too late, but there will be many who will come too late. Oh God, I ask you, may all who hear your word now, may they not only trim their lamps, but may they be connected to the fullness of the Spirit. Dear Lord, as you said to the prophet Elijah, and as he could speak it out, the flour in the cruse shall not stop, and also the oil not, until the rain falls. O God, give us everything, the bread and the oil, until the rain falls, the latter rain, and until you can manifest yourself among your people. Dear Lord, today you have laid the desire into all of us. We have the wish, the request, that you come, that you manifest your resurrection power in our midst, your miracle power, your saving power, your delivering power, the victory of Calvary. Let it be manifested in our midst. Precious Lord, bless now all who made their decision for you. Brothers and sisters, as we are remaining in prayer, let me ask whether some are here who would like to consecrate their lives fully to the Lord. Fully. Just saying with all your heart, no own way anymore. No own will anymore. Decide you alone. Saying with all your heart, not my will, but thy will be done. As our heads are bowed, you can raise your hands briefly. God sees the hands. God sees the hands, the hearts. Oh, God in heaven, we are coming to you and we thank you that the blood of the new covenant still speaks for us, that forgiveness, grace, and salvation is here for everyone who believe today and who accept it today. Beloved Lord, may the faith become so strong and mighty that we recognize it by faith, that we are now the pardoned ones, that we have heard your call, that we have been brought back to the beginning, so that you at the end can do what you have done at the beginning. To you, the Almighty God, be your people consecrated from one end of the earth until the other end. May all the peoples and tongues hear your voice, the gospel, as the power of God, experiencing it. I thank you that you heard us, that you answered us today. And may all who are here today and all who hear, may all receive and accept that the Lord has given us everything. How should God not give us everything with him? All the promises are yes and amen. They found their fulfillment. Beloved Lord, manifest the victory of Calvary tonight in our midst in a mighty way. Praise and thanks, all the glory and all the worship belongs to you alone. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know whether Brother Schmidt will still pray with us. Please. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for this grace, for this hour of grace. We all noticed and heard it. In this book it is written that God wanted to prepare a place, and he prepared it. We all heard it, we all read it, that all men of God who were willing to walk in the will and act in the will of God, they always were thanking the Lord and worshipping him. And as I said, he prepared a place where his name might dwell. And as we heard in 2 Corinthians, the Lord has prepared a place for himself. And he called us all. He called us all to worship him in this temple. And this call was sent to all of us. As from the beginning, when the Lord revealed himself, and as he spoke to John, and the church age messages was always the single call. It always said, come back to the beginning. And then he said, blessed is he who heareth this word, blessed is everyone who keepeth it. And to everyone is given the crown, if we believe, and if we receive and accept what he prepared for us. Praise and thanks be to his holy name. We thank the Lord and we ask for his blessing now. Now perhaps I would like to say something here. One request to all who are present here at this place. If, when we leave this building, please, don't speak or let not our thoughts run away into all the world. No. Let us take with us what we have heard. And blessed are we if we not only become hearers, but if we become doers of the word, just as James expressed it. May the Lord give us grace to it. I repeat, please, pay attention to it. Don't speak too much. Keep it in your heart. Ponder upon it as Mary did it. And the Lord blessed. May the Lord give it to all of us by his grace. And as already said at the beginning, as was emphasized, please, parents, watch over your children. It would be good if everything would run smoothly and in order. Please forgive me. We ask you that also in the houses that there's quietness. I say it. I heard of some things that up to 2 o'clock in the night that there's no quietness. Please re-regard one another. Please forgive me this admonition. May the Lord give us all strength to give glory to his name. Now, let us stand up and let us thank him. Heavenly Father, I thank you. We thank you together for the grace and faithfulness, for the privilege that you are still speaking to us, that you are still calling us to come out from all the uncleanness, to keep away from it, so that your name might be glorified. You who spoke to us, and you who said, we are the temple of the living God. Please give us all grace, each one of us, great or little, young or old, that we always remember, O God, that you made us living stones, building us together as your house. Please bless all who are present here. Bless also all those who are joining us online. We forget. We also don't forget those who cannot be here. Whatever reasons there are, Lord, you know them. Please bless them there where they are. And together we want to praise you and honor you and exalt your name. Amen. Praise, honor, and glory. Let us sing. Praise, honor, and glory be brought unto you. To you, the Lamb, which has saved us and taken away our sins. Hallelujah. Be praised. Hallelujah. Be praised. Lord, you blessed us.